Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got Alan Page on the thermometer. That's right, Double H, 88 degrees, overcast skies in the Twin Towns. Wind out of the west at 11 miles an hour. It is 4:10 on a WCCO Sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you. Thanks for tuning us in. I know you're probably outside soaking up this heat. Hydrate. I'll be going solo until 6 p.m. Stevie T has left the building and will soon be on I-94 dodging barrels and cones on his way to his palace in the northern burbs that overlooks the mighty Mississippi River. I hope Stevie T puts the yacht in the river today. It's warm enough. By the way, a little progress on that monster I-94 a road project between Nicollet Avenue, downtown Minneapolis, Shingle Creek Parkway, and Brooklyn Center. I drive it often, and now there's some freshly paved highway. Some of the potholes and the cracks and the craters are gone. I can't wait until it's finished. Keep up the good work, MnDOT. J-Lo Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator, again wearing the Seattle Mariners cap. Hasn't brought that club a whole lot of luck. And in the newsroom, Laura Oakes. You hear her during the week here on CCO. The business of sports. We do it periodically right here on WCCO with our good friend Billy Robertson, Commissioner WCHA. Long and storied marketing career with the Minnesota Timberwolves, Wild, Anaheim Angels, and Anaheim Ducks. And Billy, always good to have you on the airwaves. And I'm sure you're going to be glued to the tube tonight watching two of your favorite clubs, the Twins and the Angels, battle in Orange County.
I am, Eric. As you know, I'm a big baseball fan and had worked with the, at the time, the California Angels, who then became the Anaheim Angels in my tenure. But I love when the Twins are out there and have liked the progress so far after a couple games on the West Coast. And I think the Twins are surprising so many people after 2 months of a real play, and they're leading the division, and that's all you could ask for at this point, Eric.
Yeah, a little-known factoid and tidbit, you wore number 4 back in the day at Creighton High School in St. Paul, and before you, Paul Molitor wore number 4, so I know you're a big Molly guy, and number 4, one of the great numbers in the Twin Cities, isn't it?
You bet. Well, and that's the reason my brother Mike had worn number 4, but Paul Molitor wore it at Creighton, and I wanted to wear that number badly to emulate him. I wasn't in the same category as Paul Molitor as a player, but certainly his legacy at the time, Creighton High School, was second to none. One of the greatest athletes to ever come out of the Twin Cities area, and I'm so happy that he's doing well this year. And I think he's one of the smartest baseball minds. His baseball IQ is off the charts, Eric, and he doesn't get as enough positive kudos for what he's done so far this season with the Minnesota Twins. I think it's fabulous, and he's playing in one of the greatest ballparks, I think, in Major League Baseball, in the Anaheim Stadium, the new refurbished Anaheim Stadium, and it's a great place to watch a game. As you know, you and I have seen several games there between each other, watching various games, and it's a great part of the world. And if it's a nice night, which it is normally in Orange County, California, it's one of the best spots to watch Major League Baseball.
All right, Billy, you don't work for the Angels anymore, so I'm sure you can give us a candid answer here. But here's a franchise that started basically when the Twins did in the early 1960s. They were the L.A. Angels. They played a couple years at Dodger Stadium. Then they moved to Orange County, went into the Big A, Anaheim Stadium. They were the California Angels. And, of course, the Rams went there once upon a time, and they changed the ballpark. Then the Rams left, and they tore the ballpark down, the outfield seats, and put up the rock pile and moved the Big A, all that good stuff. They became the Anaheim Angels and now the L.A. Angels of Orange County. All of these name changes, does that hurt marketing?
Well, I mean, it was done for one reason. Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, felt that if they had the words Los Angeles in their repertoire, that they were going to get more dollars in sponsorship. And it's not proven to be successful for them. And I think when you do change your names several times, it's very confusing to the fans and to the media and for your brand itself. And they've struggled with that, in my opinion. But they did not want the name Anaheim when Artie bought the team from the Walt Disney Company. And I worked for the Angels when they were with the Walt Disney Company, and they were all about energy in the ballpark and making the experience for the fans second to none. Artie Moreno came in and felt that he needed to change the name to disassociate himself with the Disney franchise itself, and then wanted some things done that I think he has made some very, very, in my opinion, some very, very bizarre baseball moves. And I think they've lost a lot of their mojo, even though it is a great ballpark to go to and they have great weather on a regular basis. It's been confusing for the fans, and a lot of them don't like what has happened. And then this year, on top of that, you lose your best player in Mike Trout to a sliding injury with his hand, and he may be out, we don't even know how long, 2 months, maybe more, and he's your franchise player. It's going to be a rough summer in Orange County, California, for fans of the Angel franchise.
And to make things even worse, they're in the same division with the Houston Astros, who right now are a juggernaut. That's a dominant baseball team. I saw them play twice here in Minneapolis. I liked what I saw of the Astros. We're talking with Billy Robertson. The segment is called The Business of Sports. We do it periodically here on WCCO. And Billy, okay, so you've spent your career marketing and in PR and, you know, trying to drum up interest in sporting events and milestone things that are going to happen. The Angels are sitting on a major one. Albert Pujols, 599 career home runs. He will soon become the ninth player in Major League Baseball history to join that exclusive 600 club. And how do you handle this? You know Tim Meade and all those guys out there in Orange County very well, and every club is a little different in how they approach this kind of stuff. But is there a blueprint to how do you handle number 600, or you just let it happen?
Well, I mean, there's no way to know when it will happen. I believe it's going to happen over the weekend, and traditionally the ball carries extremely well in Anaheim during day games, and they play a Sunday afternoon game. So in my opinion, that would be the most logical time, but there's no way to know that. But the team has to prepare for this, and they'll have some ceremony and press event after the game. And then right away, they need to come out with all the paraphernalia around Pujols' 600 home runs, because it is a major milestone in professional baseball. And he's a great player and has represented the game in the utmost fashion. He's classy, and I think more than anything, they need to come off with this, that it is a big day. I mean, I can remember a couple times in my career in Anaheim watching Don Sutton win his 300th game. He was an Angel towards the end of his career. He played with the Brewers, too, and the Dodgers and a couple other teams, I believe. But he won his 300th game in Anaheim. I was there for that, witnessed that in person. And I also witnessed Rod Carew playing with the Angels against the Twins, getting his 3,000th hit to left field. Never forget it on a Sunday afternoon. So lots of things can happen. I remember how they celebrated that at the time. And if the Angels are going to leverage this, then they're going to have to continue to push the merchandise angle and the promotional angle. And yet Albert Pujols doesn't want a lot of publicity and a lot of push with his name. He's not been in the limelight with the Angels in the respect that he wants to be the dominant name, because Mike Trout has been that over the last few years. But that tandem of Trout and Pujols has carried the day for a long time with the Angels. They just need to get back on the winning track, and it's going to take a while.
All right, Billy, whenever you're talking about a major marker home run, then you always have that possibility that fans are going to battle for the ball, maybe even have a brawl for the baseball. We saw it with Barry Bonds in San Francisco. I mean, way back in the day when Hank Aaron hit number 715 off Al Downing in the L.A. Dodgers, Bill Buckner, playing left field for the Dodgers at the time, almost climbed over the chain link fence to get the ball, but Tom House in the Atlanta bullpen caught it, and he had the ceremonial ball. I can remember Frank Thomas hitting number 500 at the Metrodome for Toronto against the Twins, and a fan caught it, and this fan gave up the ball easily. All he took was a couple bats and I think a Frank Thomas jersey, and he was happy. But you have to think that if a fan gets it, you don't know what kind of demands they're going to make for this baseball baseball, which is a valuable baseball.
It will be a valuable baseball, and it'll be worth much more than a ticket to the game itself. So, you know, he's a lefty, he's a right-handed hitter, and most likely that home run will come. There's no way to know for sure, but it should come to left field where he hits the majority of his home runs. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, Major League Baseball has marked all the baseballs every time Albert Pujols comes to the plate, Eric. I don't know if your listeners know that. There's special baseballs that have a seal on it. So it can be detected right away if it was the real baseball. And then some people will maybe try to sell the ball. Some will try to bargain as much as they can with the Angels and Albert Pujols to get as much memorabilia from him as possible. And that's all part of the charm of coming to the game and to be lucky enough to get that 600 ball. I'm sure the security will be right there when it happens, so there isn't any kind of fisticuffs or brawl happening in the stands.
Yeah, yeah. Bring your gloves tonight if you're in Orange County, or bring your nets. A lot of guys bring fishing nets to the ball games out there in Orange County. Billy, stick around. We'll come back and do some more. Going to get your takeaways on the U of M ticket scandal in Dinkytown, and how about Nashville NHL success in the South. It's 421 on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We have dropped 1 degree. We're at 87. Overcast skies. Wind out of the northwest at 16. It's breezy. Wind heat factor right around 90. How often do we say that in the Twin Cities? Sports Saturday continues 424. Here on WCCO, Eric Nelson here until 6. We continue our business of sports segment with Billy Robertson. And Billy, over there in Dinkytown, I think it's the land of 10,000 scandals. There seems to be something negative happening on a monthly basis. Now you have a ticket fiasco going on, the FBI involved. What kind of light can you shed on that for us?
Well, I don't know other than really what I've read so far, Eric. And it's hard to comment when you're just hearing things from a newspaper accounts, but a situation that the University of Minnesota does not want to have to be looking at this point. And I know their athletic director, Mark Coyle, is sensitive to all this stuff. He wants to clean up all these scenarios and move in a positive direction. And all he can do right now is to make sure that the staff he has in place are doing their jobs and doing it to the best of their abilities. And it comes at a tough time when there aren't playing any sports at the university anymore. So the seasons, spring seasons are all over, and we're still several weeks away from college football and the fall sports starting. So this will take up some of the limelight, but they need to move past this quickly and move on to more positive things for the university, and including the athletic village that they're trying to build. And I think if they can push the emphasis towards things like that, they're going to be in a much better spot. But certainly another scenario for the university that they can't afford to have happen.
Yeah, and again, it is a moving target, like you pointed out. And from what I understand early on, nobody as far as fans get cheated out of anything, and hopefully that's the case. But there is a perception problem, and here's Gopher football struggling to fill up the venue over there at TCF, and Gopher hoops trying to get relevant again at the Barn. So just that perception that swirls over everything in Dinkytown certainly doesn't help sell tickets.
It does not help sell tickets, and even more importantly, you have media now looking at everything they do on a daily basis. Not that they hadn't before, but they're looking even more with lots of scrutiny, Eric, and that's a tough thing. And then even more critical is a time when they need sponsors and donors to be giving the university money for their athletic programs and for the university. And it's tough when these things are front page and center on a regular basis. It's hard to move past that for a lot of people. And I know they've lost. It's been really, a lot of people have been critical of all these continual things that have happened. And it's not good, and a black eye for the university.
All right, Billy, you helped put the Anaheim Ducks on the map way back in the day at the Honda Center in Orange County, a Sunbelt team. And what we've seen in the last 20 years since Gary Bettman became NHL commissioner is an explosion in the Sunbelt. Once upon a time, it was just the LA Kings. And now you've got San Jose, you've got Dallas, you've got Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay. and the Nashville Predators. And wow, what a success story this is. They're going to have their first ever Stanley Cup final game in Nashville tonight against Pittsburgh. And the buzz and all of the, you know, the periphery stuff, it's a big-time hockey city now, isn't it?
It is. And so much happiness for me to see these expansion teams do well. And Nashville came in a year before the Wild came in and had struggled for a while and made some inroads. And now they have a really good franchise in this area of the country. The Nashville, the country scene for sure will be hopping tonight, Eric, like nothing they've seen in that.
Hey, Billy, is your good friend Carrie Underwood going to be in the building?
Yeah, I'm sure Carrie Underwood will be in the building tonight. I'm happy for people like Pete Weber, who has been a longtime broadcaster, worked with the Kings, worked with the Buffalo Sabres, and then has worked with the Predators since they started. And people like that who have been through all the trials and tribulations. And Dave Pullen, their general manager, is a super person and a good guy, and is trying to grow the game. And, you know, what's going to happen from this, Eric, is there's going to be more interest in hockey in the South. And that's a good thing, because more and more people need to see how great a game ice hockey is in person. And this is going to draw a lot more interest. And hey, if the Predators get a win tonight, Eric, it's 2-1, and they're right back in this playoff series against the formidable Penguins team that have been to the championship on several occasions and have literally, if not the best player in hockey, in Sidney Crosby. So a lot to soak in tonight, but I think the atmosphere in the building is what I keep my eye on for all your listeners out there to see the fan base and if they do another whiteout type scenario and if they have towels and all those things lead to the excitement, and it's going to build. And hey, they're going to sell more season tickets next year from this, Eric, and more sponsors will come in place. And it's a good thing for that organization, because they richly deserve it. And I'm so happy that Nashville is doing so well this year.
Quickly, Billy, in about 30 seconds, again, you know what it's like to try to market hockey in the Sun Belt. What's the strategy when you start a team up in Orange County or Nashville or places like that where the game is not part of the DNA of your fan base?
Right. Well, it's really about one thing. It's educating your fans on who the stars are in the league. A lot of times it's the rules. A lot of people don't know the rules.
Yep.
In Anaheim, they had no clue really what ice hockey was all about. Some had followed the Kings, but in essence, you're really starting from scratch, kind of a hockey 101 scenario. And we did a lot of that in Anaheim and even to a degree in Minnesota with the Wild, with the respect of the NHL left for 7 years, and we needed to have people understand who the new stars of the league were and how that's going to help carry the day for the future. But all good things for the Predators, and Columbus had a great year as another expansion team that came in the same time as the Wild. So this is all good things for the NHL and for the game of hockey.
All right, Billy, always good to share the airwaves with you. Have a great Saturday and Sunday. Rumor has it you were golfing with Dave Lee today.
I was. We were out at Troyburn Golf Club in Hudson, Wisconsin, and it was a beautiful day and had a fun round of golf.
And Dave picked up the tab on the 19th hole, correct?
No, Bill Robertson picked up the tab on the 19th
hole. Wow. Well, we'll have to remind Dave about that Monday morning. Thanks so much, Billy.
Yes, you will. All right. Thanks, Eric. Have a great weekend.
All right, Billy Robertson. Commissioner WCHA and a longtime marketing wizard with the Wild, the Wolves, the Ducks, and the Angels. We call the segment The Business of Sports, and we do it periodically right here on WCCO. Update from down I-35 in Kansas City, Kansas. They're in the 27th minute, first half. Minnesota United and Sporting KC 0-0 on the pitch down there in KC. 4:36 on a Sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you. Thanks so much for tuning us in. 87 balmy degrees. Almost feels like Arizona outside. And joining us now is a guy who grew up in Phoenix, knows all about the heat. Two-time Pro Bowler, Minnesota Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin. How you doing, Everson? We may have lost him, so we'll try to reconnect.
I'm doing well. How you doing, Eric?
Oh, hey, Everson, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I put the phone on mute. Sorry.
A lot of people try to mute me.
Yeah, no, you sound good today. I want to listen to you.
All right, very good. Well, first of all, tell us how the mini camps and the OTAs are going.
OTAs are good. I feel like, first and foremost, we mentioned Coach Zimmer. You know, he just, his presence, his his demeanor, what he demands from us. You know, we're missing him, but, you know, we also getting the job done. You know, we have leaders on the team, and we also have the best coaching staff in the NFL to take over his role while they're gone. You know, he got guys in leadership that he can trust, and, you know, and we're doing to the highest level. But besides that, we're out there working hard. Our team is coming together. You know, just we're setting a solid foundation right now, and that's what it's all about, setting that solid foundation and, you know, and getting on the field and just building that team chemistry and getting all the pieces, putting all the puzzle pieces put together now.
Yeah, and your coach, Mike Zimmer, he really is a football addict. I know it's painful for him to be down in Kentucky now on the ranch and not be here with the football team, but these eye issues, they're serious. What's the vibe in the room? I would think you want him to get better before he comes back.
Yeah, of course we want to get better when he comes back, but he's going to get a lot of I would call it he's on a vacation right now, chilling on the resort at his ranch, you know, probably drinking a couple cocktails. Now, I'm playing. I text him, and, you know, he said he wants to be back. He'll die for this game, and he would. You know, he's a football fanatic, and he loves it. He loves what he does every day. And, you know, we miss him. But the first and foremost is for him to get his eye healthy, because, you know, I feel like seeing is the most important thing to do, and I feel like that's he got to take care of himself, then he can take care of the team.
Yeah, if you guys are ever going to win that coveted Super Bowl, you certainly want your head coach to actually be able to see it happen. I mean, that would be first and foremost, right?
Yes, it would be. You know, his health is very important, like everybody else's health on the team. You know, I feel like he got to take care of himself and then come back and take care of his job.
What's the hunger factor, Everson, given the way last year played out, 5-0 start, finished 8-8, missed the playoffs? I know there had to be an offseason of reflection and saying to yourself, we're going to come back and we're going to get this thing right.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest thing is going back to the fundamentals, going back to what makes Minnesota Vikings, you know, running to the ball, you know, the linemen being aggressive down the field, making the extra block, extra legal block, the D-line getting after the quarterback, the wide receivers catching the ball, getting extra yards, just getting back to what we know, and that is being a blue-collar team, you know, like Coach Zimmer says, you know, we want to be blue-collar, we want to be tough, we want to be physical, and at the same time, we want to be athletic as well. So I feel like getting back to the fundamentals and getting back to the details of the game, you know, and not overthinking the game and just playing. We have a lot of talent. And just put the guys in the right position and let us work and, you know, and just sticking to the details and the fundamentals of the game.
All right, you've played in the last two Pro Bowls. Everson Griffin, our guest, Minnesota Vikings defensive end, and certainly there's a lot of star power around you on that defense. But offensively, some new pieces as well. Dalvin Cook, the top draft choice, second round out of Florida State. He, from what I hear, looks very good. And then Michael Floyd, a guy who's put up big numbers with the Arizona Cardinals, needs a second or third chance, and he's going to get it in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, Dalvin Cook looks he has great vision, great feet. And you know, I'm excited to see what the kid can do once the full pass come on and we out there with the lights come on, you know. I know he's an extraordinary athlete, and he's looking good during team periods and individual periods and stuff like that, what I see him on tape. And I'm excited, man. They just bring another dimension to our offense. You know, he can catch the ball out the backfield. You know, he has great vision. He can run. He's strong in the hole. He's a downhill runner. He's a one gap runner that, you know, when he finds a hole, he's trying to get north and south. And then we also got Latavius Murray that's going to come in and do a great job for us too. He's a bigger size running back. You know, he's a bigger running back, and you know, he's great in pass defense, you know, blocking, you know, filling that in. And he's also a pounder, and he also can hit the long run, the home run too as well. So, and I just feel like the combination of them two back there is going to be a very unique situation for us, and it's going to bring us a lot of different dimensions, it's going to make our offense more complex and harder for the defense to really catch a feel to it. And also, I think getting Michael Floyd is going to—he's a bigger receiver that can stretch the field. You know, he's fast and he can stretch the field. And we have some great wide receivers: Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. You know, add Michael Floyd in there, then you got Treadwell. You know, Treadwell looking great as well too. It seems like he's he's been working very well in the offseason to get where he want to be.
Yeah, certainly Laquon Treadwell, a man on a mission, because last season he only caught one pass as a number one draft choice, so he wants to prove himself. What about the offensive line? You see him every day, Everson. They were banged on like a pinata last season, criticized heavily. The Vikings have added Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers. You also have the core from a year ago. Is the O-line better?
Yeah, they are. I think that we're getting back to the nastiness of the O-line, you know, being physical, being dominant in the trenches, you know, finishing blocks, you know, and competing. You know, we got guys on the offensive line that's not going to give up. They're going to fight you to the very end. And, yes, I feel like we got a better offensive line. You know, Coach Soprano does a great job, you know, with them, getting them ready and prepared. And, you know, and I feel that it's up to them to go out there and execute the calls. But as I see them right now, they're very competitive, they're very physical, and they're willing to go out there and compete each and every day. And, you know, we added some good puzzles, like you said, Riley Weave, Mike Remmers, then we got Joe Berger, Nick Geeston, you know, we got Alex Boone. You know, it's going to be competitive down there. We got Big Rashad. We got a lot of guys that is competing right now and that's looking to get a job, and that's what you got to love.
All right, final thought, Everson, we'll let you go. I hear the other day you made a surprise visit to an elementary school in Wayzata, and you turned into a rock star.
Yeah, you know, the teacher is a super fan. A high school kid, a junior, his name was Elliot. He hit me up on Twitter, and he said, my teacher is a super fan, and would you come and make an appearance for us? And I did. You know, I just went in, you know, made an appearance, talked to a couple of periods of classes, third and fourth period. And, you know, I invited them to the game, got them some game tickets, and you know, just trying to give back to the community. You know, Minnesota Vikings, you know, Minnesota is a great place to be and a great organization to be a part of. And, you know, I want to be a Vikings for life. And, you know, that's my biggest thing, you know, try to do more stuff in the community, give back and, you know, get my face out there, you know, and just give back. That's the biggest thing, you know. If I could have a professional football player come to my class my junior year, it would have been awesome. So I just try to repay the favor that I wish I would have growing up as a high schooler.
Well, that's great stuff, and I know everybody thrilled out there in Wayzata. Hey, Everson, always good to talk to you. We'll do it again as we get closer to the NFL season. Have a great day.
All right, Eric, thank you. Have a good one.
All right, very good. He's the two-time Pro Bowler, Everson Griffin. Went to the same high school in suburban Phoenix as Viking Hall of Famer Randall McDaniel. And our time is 4:45, 87 degrees, overcast skies here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Cloudy day now in the Twin Cities. Still a warm 187 degrees. It's breezy outside. Wind out of the northwest at 16 miles an hour. It's 4:48. Eric Nelson with you on a sports Saturday. The Minnesota Lynx on the hardwood tonight at Key Arena in the Emerald City of Seattle. Lynx, the only undefeated team in the WNBA. They are 6-0. The Storm, 4-1. So this should be a good test for Minnesota. They'll run into a hostile venue there in Seattle. And, of course, Sylvia Fowles, Player of the Month in May and two-time Player of the Week in the WNBA's Western Conference, averaging a double-double so far this season. Boy, the Lynx, they are simply amazing. We are spoiled by their success. All they do each year is win, and they win big. And they get out of the gate in a hurry. They get off to these remarkable starts. I think they won their first 13 last season. They've got like a 23-game winning streak in the month of May going back a few years. So that's the recipe for winning. Get off to a good start and then continue to crescendo as you get closer and closer to the playoffs. The Minnesota Twins will play tonight in Orange County against the LA Angels. That'll be game three of the four-game series, and the Twins have won the first two. They had their bats going last night against the Angels. Three guys hit two-run home runs, and they were Joe Mauer, Robbie Grossman, and Max Kepler. Mauer had four hits. The Twins had 15 in the game. Mauer has hit in 11 of his last 12 games against the Angels. He's batting .423 in that span against Los Angeles. Twins back in first in the American League Central, leading Cleveland. And here's the weird twist to the Twins so far this year is now we're into early June. Whenever they leave the 612 area code, whenever they pack a bag, get on a jet, stay in a hotel, they win. They thrive on the road. The Twins are 16-5 away from Minnesota. At home, 12-18. Boy, the last homestand, I saw four of those games, Tampa Bay and Houston. They were 1-5, and they got absolutely battered by the Astros in the three-game sweep, outscored 40-16. But they've quickly turned it around in Orange County against the Angels, and so the Twins, very much in the mix in the American League Central. They have a 1.5 game lead over the Cleveland Indians, who lost today to Jonathan Lowe's Kansas City Royals 12-5. So KC does Minnesota a favor. No matter what happens tonight in Southern California, the Twins will wake up on Sunday, June 4th, in first place in the AL Central. So certainly the Twins, one of the big-time surprises in Major League Baseball. We're going to have Bob Nightingale on from USA Today. He's their very plugged-in MLB columnist. Bob will join us next hour, and we'll get his thoughts on the Twins and other Major League Baseball topics. But certainly Nightingale will kind of give us that national perspective of what people are saying about the Twins, because you look around Major League Baseball – and they're clearly one of the bigger early season surprises. I would say you'd have to lump Colorado in there. The Rockies a half game behind the Dodgers in the NL West. And they're 34-23. That's a very good team right now. And how about the Milwaukee Brewers? Let's give some love to the Brew Crew on the other side of the St. Croix River over there in America's Dairyland. The Brewers lead the National League Central. They have a game and a half lead over the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. Milwaukee, 29-26. And the Brewers are a little bit like the Twins. They're better on the road than they are at Miller Park. They're 15-10 on the road, 14-16 at home. And, of course, the Twins and Brewers will play later this series, the I-94 series, which has really been, I think, tainted a bit by the interleague play we now have on a nightly basis, because you used to get those teams would play a couple of weekend series. Now it's another Monday, Tuesday in one venue and Wednesday, Thursday in another. It lacks a little bit of the juice. You don't get as much people traveling then, but I'd love to see it. I'd love to have the Brewers and Twins be in first place, J-Lo, when they meet later this season. And I know it's very early, but we can close our eyes and fantasize, right? What would it be like to have the Brewers and Twins in a World Series? What would that do for the upper Midwest?
I'm thinking that the rest of the nation would be tuning in to see if the World Series would be canceled by snow.
Wow. So what you're saying is it would not garner the same kind of TV ratings that Cubs Indians did?
I don't believe so, no. The Brewers, I'm trying to think, have they ever won the World Series?
No.
The Brewers haven't.
No.
They got to it, I think, in 82.
The Milwaukee Braves did.
Yes. But the Brewers have never won a World Series, so that's a long time. And the Twins haven't won in 30 years. I'm sorry, in 26 years. The first one was 30 years ago. So that's a long time. But when you're talking 108 and 64, 68, 108 and 68, that's a long time, too.
So your symmetry is, right now, on June 3, the Brewers lead the world champion Cubs by a game and a half, and the Twins lead the AL champion Indians by a game and a half. This is WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.